Hello, I'm John McNamara, the Information Architect for IBM Messaging, and it's my pleasure to introduce Leif Davidson, Pete Siddle, Maura Cusin. Hello!
Hello!
Hello. Leif Davidson is a product manager, and Pete and Maura are two giants bestriding MQ technically like Colossus. We're going to do is where we talk to you about MQv8, the new functions that are coming out. And Morag and Pete are talking through the technical aspects, and we'll round up with Leif at the end. So, Pete, can I ask you first then, can you tell us about the new and funky features that are coming out for ZOS? What pricks your interest the most?
Okay, John, thanks for introducing me. I think we have to start off with the big buffer pools that we put in on ZOS in MQ version 8. It's a feature which our customers have been asking us for many, many years, and it's something which we've been working towards over a number of releases. What we've done is we have changed the architecture of MQ so that it's able to exploit 64-bit storage on the ZOS platform. And it's, you can imagine, it's taken a number of releases to be able to drive some of that rewriting of the code through all the layers of the queue manager, so that we're actually finally able to now start using data that is located in 64-bit storage. So the culmination of that really is MQv8. What we've now done is we've been able to move our buffer pools from being squashed in that tiny 31-bit region down below the bar into this vast 64-bit storage area, which we can now exploit. That means that when we read data, we can keep much, much more of it in storage, which means that we can put messages onto queues faster, we can get messages off queues faster than if they were out on disk and we were constantly moving that data between storage and between disk storage and memory storage.
Fantastic. So is the main focus of this the benefit performance? What improvements do the customer see?
Well, I think there are a couple of benefits here. If we've got deep queues, then there's clearly a performance benefit. But I think probably one of the more important benefits here is towards reducing administration costs. We know that getting the right tuning for your queues is so important to people that they actually spend a lot of people time actually trying to tune which queues map to which buffer pools and how much space should be apportioned to those buffer pools. With these changes we've made in version 8, we can now effectively say we'll put each page set in its own buffer pool. We've got up to 100 buffer pools. We can just throw as much storage at it as we need to. And if there are vital queues which need top performance, they can effectively go in their own buffer pool now. So I think as well as giving the performance, a key piece here is we can reduce the impact of having to do that monitoring and tuning to a very large degree.
Fantastic. That sounds like a real step forward. So Morag, now I understand that you are really interested in security and you've been looking after the security team. What exciting new developments can we expect from security?
Well, thanks, John. Yeah, I am becoming known as being the MQ security gal, I think, out there in the big wide world. Yeah, we've got some seriously interesting security features in MQv8. We've had a focus on security over the last several releases now, and V8 is continuing that. One of the big headliners is user ID and password authentication. So now when your applications connect to your queue manager, you can authenticate them using a user ID and password check. Now that user ID and password check can be an OS one. You can check the user ID and password against the OS, or if you're on ZOS, you can use passwords or passphrases. Or on your distributed platforms, you can set it up so you can check your user ID and password against an LDAP server. So you can do LDAP authentication when your application's first connected to the queue manager. So that's pretty cool, John, I think.
Yeah, excellent. So if I were a customer, if I was a newbie to security and MQ, what direct benefit would I get from that? Is it a focused security improvement, or is it an overall security improvement for MQ?
Well, I think there's possibly two major ways to look at that as an improvement. One of them is that up until V8, you either did SSL, which came built into the product, with all the sort of certificate management that came with that, or you had kind of the absolute lower end of the scale, which was sort of IP filtering with our channel off, or you had to write a security exit. So you either had something that wasn't particularly secure, but it was better than leaving the back door open completely, or you had this kind of full strength, big administration cost of SSL. So user ID and passwords kind of says, out of the box now, you have something that's somewhere in the middle, something that's good enough if you're not looking to use the full strength SSL solution, but you want to have some level of authentication on your remote applications coming into the manager. But it's better than, you know, just having IP filtering, which was your other option. The other way to look at it is, this is something that you could have done before in a security exit, but having to maintain, write, test, or pay for a security exit was an additional overhead and an additional bit of maintenance, and now you can do that same feature but inside the product. So there's kind of two ways to look at it as advantages, but it's giving you more choice in security. When the security is all about managing the risk and having the right level of security for what you need. Not everybody needs the gold standard, but everybody needs it some level, somewhere on that grayscale.
Fantastic. So I've heard a bit of talk about the client attachment feature. Can you give us a quick run through as to what improvement taking place there?
I'll start off, and then Mara can butt in and throw some pieces. So on ZOS, for every release up till now, we have had the client attachment feature, which has been a priced feature on the ZOS platform. And if you wanted to connect MQ clients from distributed boxes straight into the ZBox, then you had to install this client attachment feature. What we've done in version 8 is we've removed that feature. So we've kind of opened up the ability to all customers to be able to connect their clients directly into ZOS.
Yep. I mean, this is sort of taking a step further than what we did in, I guess it was 7.1, where we gave you 5 free client connections. So we've taken it a step further than that and said, okay, now you don't need to buy this additional feature to have as many client connections as you want at all. And I think we're comfortable at this point in opening that up as well, because we know we've got a decent set of security choices for you, so that you can secure the clients that are coming into your ZOS box. So now you could do the user ID and password, you've got your channel auth enhancements. Something else we haven't talked about yet, John, is we've enhanced channel auth to add host names in, as well as IP addresses as a way to filter that. So you've got your choice of security now, so you don't have to be quite so scared of having these inbound network connections coming into your ZOS box from your client applications.
I think it plays into, as well, a use case we've seen in a number of customers now, where they have on their ZBox a kind of a queue server. They're using the reliability, availability of queue sharing groups to have a queue server which is always providing that service to their things, and they can just connect a client in from anywhere to the queue server, get messages, put messages from their applications directly, and take advantage of having that, you know, reliability and availability of the ZBox from distributed applications.
Yeah. Tip top. So, Mara, you mentioned channel auth. What's happening there?
Okay, so channel auth was a feature we put in 7.1 that allowed you to determine how to treat inbound connections. So you could look at the IP address and say, I don't like that IP address, he's not allowed in. I do like that IP address, so that channel is allowed in. And you could set the MCA user that it was running under, or you could do filtering not with IP addresses, but instead with SSL peer names. And in V8, we've enhanced it in a number of ways. One, we've enhanced the IP address types of rules to allow you to have host names as well. We've enhanced the SSL filtering rules to allow you not just to filter on the subject's distinguished name, which is the one that identifies the certificate, but also the issuer's distinguished name. So you can identify certificates signed by different CAs. And also we've tied channel auth into our user ID and password line item as well. So if you have a set of client applications that you want to say these are mandated to provide a user ID and password, let's say because they're not using SSL, then you can set your channel auth rules up to say this set must provide a user ID and password, where this other set that are doing SSL already, so they don't need a user ID and password as well, they don't have to provide a user ID and password. So there's various things, all the different security features that we've done in V8 also tie in to do something in channel auth, because channel auth is our front end set of rules to say what is supposed to happen to any particular inbound connection. So it applies to that, all these different things all apply to channel auth as well. So that are the, those are the changes for channel auth. A little bit of everything.
That sounds awesome. Okay, so interesting question. If you could be an MQ feature, Peter, what would you be?
What would I be? Well, I think I would be an MQ shared queue. Yeah, I spent a fair amount of my early career in the MQ area getting those shared queues to work. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed is kind of circling back to that in this release, working on some of the aspects of shared queues can now exploit flash memory in the coupling facility. So we've been working with the guys in Poughkeepsie doing some performance measurement of that, trying to understand how that works with MQ's SMDS capabilities for offload as well. So it's kind of been fun in this last year, sort of circling back around to some of that shared queues, and yeah, it's been great.
Go on, Morag, you're next.
All right, I think I would probably have to be an SSL or TLS channel. I think the reason why is because there's quite a lot of my own blood, sweat, and tears already in our MQ SSL channels, back from the days in 5.3 where we first introduced them, right through to version 8 where we've just added a feature to allow you to have multiple different certificates representing your queue manager. Until V8, you could have one certificate that was the identity of your queue manager, and that was it. Now in V8, different channels can present different certificates out to the partner they're talking to. So, you know, right from the very first days of SSL through to V8, I've been there, and it's my code signature in and among the features too. So, you know, I'm proud of my SSL channel, so that would be what I was.
Fantastic. So is there anything that you want to finish up with? Any other technical tidbits that you'd like to mention before we close?
You sprung that one on us, haven't
you?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Tell you what, John, what I think I'd like to close on is RFEs. So V8 has lots of customer requirements in it. And in fact, only yesterday, Pete and myself and Mark went through all the RFEs and closed off as delivered a whole number of them. So I think I want to finish with, you know, RFEs are good. Keep raising them, keep voting on them, because we do look at them and we do like to try and put in as many as we can in a release. So that's where I'd like to finish.